Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces fruit by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Have you ever ordered something on the internet or from a catalog and then waited and waited and waited for it to come? As you waited for the product to arrive, it may have seemed to you like it would never come. We have gotten so used to having things when we want them that it's hard for us to be patient. It's hard for us to wait after we have ordered something that we want to be ours. We have become quite accustomed to having what we want when we want it. And no one can tell us any differently. If you want the product to arrive faster, all you have to do is pay a little bit more and you can have it overnighted. Whether it's food or clothing, house or home, when we want it, we feel that we should instantly have it. We see this every day in drive-through restaurants and drugstores, in instant sources of information such as television and the internet. And when we aren't getting what we want quickly enough, all we have to do is change the channel or find a different site. But that is not how things work in the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us this parable about the man who goes out and scatters seed upon the ground and then goes back into his house and waits for it to grow. In this parable, we have a picture of what takes place when by the sweat of his brow, a man plants a field and sees it through to the harvest. There is nothing at all unusual about the work that this man does in the field. There's nothing unusual about how the man plants or what takes place after he plants. The tools that are used and the amount of ground that is planted today may be a bit different than in Jesus' day, but things are still done in just this order. It can't happen in any other way. The farmer never receives the kernel before the stalk grows, and he doesn't harvest when the grain is not yet ripe. Jesus says this is the way it is with the kingdom of God. The seed, which is the word of God, is planted by the Holy Spirit, and then faith is born and takes root inside the hearer, even when those who are watching on the outside can't see that anything is happening at all, such as when a little child is baptized. The pastor continues to plant the seeds of the gospel, but he has no control over when or if the growth will take place. This is something that God alone, through His Holy Spirit, is able to do. Every day, the one who plants is like the man who goes to sleep and gets up and goes about his business while the seed of faith sprouts and grows almost imperceptibly. You see, the life of the plant is not in the one who sows the seed. It's not in the one who receives the seed either. The life of the plant is in the seed itself, in the Word of God. Man cannot even assist God in this life-giving work of the gospel. For the life-giving nature of the Word is inherent in the Word. Our first hymn said that. Preach the Word and plant it home on those who like or like it not. The one who waters, the one who provides sun, the one who created the seed, is the one who will also provide the growth. Man cannot assist because the Word of God does its work apart from man. But the Word does work through means. It works through those who have been called and ordained to speak the Word of forgiveness and life when you have confessed your sins. It works with and through the water in holy baptism, and in, with, and under the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. Just as seeds need the nutrients that are found in the soil, they need sunlight, air, and water in order to grow, so too do those who have faith in Jesus Christ need to be nourished. Not just four times a year, not even every week, but every day. And we are nourished only by the Word and the external means that the Word works in with and under. As much as we would like, we cannot speed up the process of growth that God has begun. We cannot put a few extra dollars into the plate and have great faith instantly. For most of us, it takes a lifetime of God's working. This is the kingdom of God. It takes time for the seed of faith to grow to maturity in a believer. We don't like that in our fast-paced world. We want it now, not later. We don't want to go through the trials and the suffering before that strong faith is gained. We want it now, without any of the work. But this doesn't happen by trying harder to believe or by trying harder to be a good person. Faith only grows to maturity as God nourishes you day by day with His life-giving Word. Unlike these seeds that Jesus is speaking about in the parable, which are planted into the field, we can choose not to receive God's nutrients and nourishment. We can choose to reject His life-giving Word. The third commandment teaches that we reject His life-giving Word when we fail to come and hear it preached, when we fail to receive the sacraments. We reject Him and His life-giving Word when we feel that we can earn forgiveness, or maybe that we are already so good we don't even have anything to confess and we have no need for a Savior at all. But only God can make the seed. Only God can plant the seed of faith. And only God can make that seed of faith sprout and grow. Apart from the Lord of heaven and earth, who opens His hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing, there would be nothing produced on this earth for humans to eat. There would also be no one who could believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is the Lord alone who causes rain to come and sun to shine and growth to occur. And it always happens just as He has designed. It always happens in His time, not in our time. It is the Lord and His Word that nourishes our souls for eternal life. Just as the food produced in a field nourishes our bodies for our physical life, so too does His Word nourish us for eternal life. Both sources of nourishment come only as gifts from God. In this first parable in the text, we see that the kingdom of God is automatic. In fact, the Greek word for automatic is even used. The kingdom of God does not come because we want it to come. It is not present because we have done something to earn it. It comes and it is present among us because God Himself wants it to be that way, and He is ever faithful in His kingdom. Martin Luther once said that the gospel is like a passing shower. It drops its rain and nourishment in this place for a short time, and then it moves on to another place. We continue to pray in the Lord's Prayer that God's will would be done among us, and that His kingdom would come to us also, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And His will is done among us, and His kingdom does continue to come among us through His Word and sacraments. No matter how boring or simple those things may seem, this is the kingdom of God. Jesus says to His disciples, "Behold, the kingdom is near you. Indeed, it is in you." For that is where He has planted it. He grows and establishes His kingdom by His power, sometimes almost imperceptibly. Thank God that He is perfectly faithful all the time. Martin Luther also wrote after his great struggle with the Pope and with the Pope's followers, "I opposed indulgences and all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing at all. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends, Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything. The power of the preached and spoken word is visible in every generation and in every language and in every land. Jesus went on to say, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and it puts out very large branches, so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade." This second parable is not a lesson from Jesus in botany. We do not need to compare the seeds of the mustard plant today with the seeds of the mustard plant from Jesus' day. The message of the parable is completely clear. The kingdom of God came in and with Jesus Christ, and it is present with us today. Jesus Christ is that shoot from the top of the cedar tree that God the Father broke off and planted on the high and holy mountain of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is the great cedar that has grown to maturity, whose branches are great, so great that every bird from every country is able to nest in its branches and enjoy its shade. The message of the parable is clear. The kingdom of God, even with its humble beginnings, one teacher, 12 disciples, has grown so large that it incorporates people of every nation, tribe, and language. This church of God is not invisible, as some say. It is at times hidden and almost imperceptible, but it is filled with saints victorious and with those saints who are still in battle. Like the seeds planted in the field, the mustard seed does not grow instantly. It takes a long time for this smallest of seeds to become a great tree. It does not grow because of a man's hard work, and it's almost impossible to see its growth if you are watching closely. Rather, the seeds in the field and the mustard seed both grow while the farmer is asleep. Gradually, without pomp and without circumstance, completely apart from the work of man. But the result of this growth is something so spectacular that it cannot even be explained. We can only marvel at what God has done. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable. But privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. There is a gem of information in that word of Jesus. Did you catch what it was? Listen again to a part. He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. What an incredible discovery in this text. The sermon that Jesus preached to those people was tailored to those people. The plant was first examined by the Lord of heaven and earth, and then the plant was given exactly what it needed. Jesus Christ knows how to distinguish between the law and the gospel. He knows when someone needs to hear the law and when it is time for the precious gospel to be given. The condition of the plant is determined, and the plant is given what it is needed. Today, your condition was examined. You did it yourself when you confessed your sins. You confessed that you were poor, miserable sinners because the law of God has condemned you for the things that you have done wrong. The word of law shows you your sin. But that's not the whole story. The word of the gospel, God's life-giving word in absolution, was spoken to you. This is Christ's word. The forgiveness of sins for your behalf. You have received that forgiveness in this sermon through His words. You will receive it again in His body and blood given at His altar. The message is delivered by a man, It is planted in the ground, in your heart, but it was tailored for you by Jesus Christ Himself. The nourishment that you have received is God's nourishment in Christ Jesus, and it is all that you need to support this body and life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice and be glad then that the seed of faith has been planted in you and that God is nourishing and producing growth that will lead to a bountiful harvest. For what God has promised, He will do. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.